Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. And thank you, Karen. I want to thank you personally for the wonderful donation you sent us. We're going to try to get your receipt and a little gift in the mail this week. Thank you. Those little tokens of encouragement keep us going and keep us on the air. Well, let's begin with our devotional thought taken from the book called Beside Bethesda. And today it's Arise and Shine. This is Johnny Erickson Tata's words. Even though I'm not a morning person, I have learned over the years that it is the most important time of the day. When the alarm goes off, my head is groggy, my thoughts are foggy, and I have zero inclination to bound out of bed into a new day. You know, even if I could, I can't. Desperately craving another hour of sleep, I lie there thinking about someone coming into my bedroom to give me a bed bath, give me a range of motion exercises, do toileting routines, get me dressed, sit me up in my wheelchair, push me to the bathroom, brush my teeth, blow my nose, brush my hair, and I tell the Lord, I don't have the energy for this. I can't do this. That is my natural, unvarnished human response to another day as a quadriplegic. When I was a child, before my injury, it wasn't that way. I would hear my mother call from downstairs, "Rise and shine!" She sounded so upbeat and cheery. No wonder I threw back the covers to race downstairs for breakfast. But I don't race anywhere now, and my quadriplegia seems more of a challenge to me than it ever has before. That is why I cling to Isaiah 60, verse 1. It's a verse for my mornings, and maybe it will become the verse for your mornings too. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. My friend Lynn, who struggles with morning as I do, told me, as I meditate on this scripture, it occurs to me that the glory of the Lord is upon me, whether I feel it or not. It rises with me on each new day. I am making it my goal to step into that reality. If the glory of the Lord rises upon me with every fresh new morning, I want to agree with God. I want to arise and invite the light of the Lord Jesus to illumine my day. The Bible assures me that my light has come. So I tell my soul to come into alignment with the Word of God. As my girlfriends get me dressed and sit me up in my wheelchair, I tell my heart to listen to the scripture and answer the call of God on my life. My friend, I encourage you to do the same. Time and again, as you look back on your life, God truly has met you with the dawning of each new day. His mercies are new every morning, the Bible says, and He graciously pours out those mercies upon you. You have every reason to rise and shine. And our verse today is Ephesians 5:14. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Amen. It's really hard sometimes when you have a lot of stressful things maybe lying ahead of you and you don't know how you're going to get everything accomplished. Or maybe you've just experienced a loss and the sleep was a blessed release from remembering. So as we pray today, let's pray for those families that have experienced loss and pray for those families that are just new maybe to homeschooling and wondering how they're going to do it. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your tender mercies through the night. I thank you for the families that are struggling with homeschooling but persevering on, and families in general. Every one of us, we are concerned about our children in every developmental stage. We want the very best for them. Lord, we pray for our nation. We pray for those children that are being brought across the border. Protect them. Be with them. They're your children too. And Lord, I just hold up to you this show. All this I pray in my holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. Well, it's one of the funnest parts of the show because it's the time where kids can get their hands on something. And today we're going to make a caterpillar on a leaf. We recently found a little caterpillar and it was just going to be wintertime, so we put it in a little ladybug cage that we had. And my fourth grade little boy who loves nature, he just kept it on his desk all winter long. And wouldn't you know, this last week he's looking at it. And he's going, hey, you know, the thing had gotten knocked off his desk. The chrysalis had broken off. We just knew there was nothing in there. But there was. The chrysalis had opened up and out came this beautiful white moth. It was about an inch and a half long and little tiny black dots on it. Little fuzzy hair. Oh, he was so thrilled. We took the little ladybug cage, opened it up, and let that little guy go out, but not before it crawled all over his hand, and he just was in love with it. It was just wonderful, and I thought, you know, the caterpillar had started out as a little white caterpillar with some little black dots on it, and wouldn't you know, I found just the cutest little pattern for it. And so the inspiration is on my Pinterest site. You can go to MR Gamblin 2 at Pinterest and you'll see it there in March to spring. So you make a leaf pattern and then you take the leaf pattern and you fold it in a fan. So when you open it up, it kind of has the veins of a leaf, and you take some tissue paper or light paper and you roll it around like the insides of a pen so that you can get that kind of size of thing back inside, and you tape it to one part of the leaf, and then the other part you have made a little channel there, and so you can pull this little caterpillar and it makes a little inchworm shape. I know it's hard for me to explain it on the air, but if you go to my Pinterest site and you see it, it'll just make all the sense in the world. I know that my students will have a lot of fun making this little caterpillar. We'll probably do it this week for art. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. This time of the year is what I call education fair time. We're usually getting ready for it in March. This year, we're going to do it in April. And I've done it all different kinds of ways. And of course, I always invite all my local homeschool families to join me. And they do, and they usually, you know, win the first prize or best of show. But this year, we're doing it a little bit different. We've been under a lot of pressure to catch up in our academics. And part of that, of course, is getting ready for an education fair. But instead of having judges go around, we're just going to allow the parents to purchase, kind of do it like a fundraiser, allow the parents and church members to purchase a sheet of stickers for a certain amount, and then they can place the stickers on whosoever display they want to place them on. And I think that our students will still feel validated, and I think it'll go a little faster. We're having a little time crunch too. I think that homeschooling families should find a way of doing an education fair because I see the students working on their poster boards, and I, at that point, am truly just coaching them. I am their aide. They're like the master of this project. I'm running pictures off for them. I'm getting them a material if they need it to make their poster board as attractive as possible. And we also let them do it in teams. So, you know, might be two or three people working on the same poster board. If you did a little education fair, either with your co-op or maybe you're the only family in the church that does an education fair, so to speak, you could easily ask permission to have your students' three-fold poster boards displayed in the church foyer. It's another way of sharing back what your students have learned, which, as we talked before, that is part of the cycle of learning. When we talked about Kolb's learning cycle, we were talking about, you know, the concrete, how this is a concrete assignment, how we reflect on it, and how we think about it, and how we actively share what we have learned. And then it goes into the cycle again. It just is a continuous cycle of learning. So for your education fair, that's part of the learning, recapping what your child has learned this year. Questions parents ask. Well, this parent, it's a homeschooling family. She says she's absolutely devastated because her 7-year-old twin girls have been looking up pornography on the computer for the past week. And they get up around 6 a.m. before mom is up, and they do it. And it started out with them simply searching for the word butt, B-U-T-T, and then it just has gotten progressively worse. This parent wants to know how they can undo that damage and how to prevent it in the future. Well, you know, God is a recreator God too, and I'm so happy about that because all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and your only hope really is God. He can help your little twin girls erase those images out of their mind and replace them with pure images. Also, how we react sometimes makes it worse than the act itself. And so don't overreact. This is something that, you know, God has made all of the parts of our bodies as perfect and beautiful. And the act of lovemaking between a husband and wife is a beautiful thing. So you don't want to make them feel like they're dirty just because they've seen those parts of another person's body. And just, you know, in the future, make sure that there's a little more supervision, that you have parental controls. I know because technology is so rampant and our young people have access to it, we have to have some frank conversations early on about what kind of images they might be exposed to, how to protect themselves. And I often will hear my students say, well, that's not appropriate. That's not appropriate. And maybe it's as simple as a swimsuit advertisement coming up in one of their educational games, which has happened, which, you know, of course, I don't want that to happen either. And I do contact the company and say, please, you know, this is a game for young children. We shouldn't have to look at women in bathing suits. But that kind of thing, we just have to always be on our guard. And I'll be praying for you that you will have peace about it and that your little girls can fill their minds with precious, precious images of creation. So that's my advice. Take it for whatever it's worth. Today, we're going to bring up an old show, an archive show called Headlines in Education. So it maybe should be now named Historical Headlines in Education, but I think you'll find out that indeed we're still grappling with the same issues today that we did a few years ago, and it's even getting worse. So it's good to think about, you know, how other people are what they're having to go through and how they are managing it. So I hope you'll stay tuned for our interview segment called Headlines in Education with Dr. Tooley. We'll be right back. Welcome, welcome. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Tooley, and we are talking about headlines in education. And I thought we'll just read a headline or a little excerpt from an article, and then we'll comment on it. So I'll let you go first, Dr. Tooley.
Okay. What we're looking at here, I've got a bunch of different ones here. I really want to start with this one. Right now in California, they have parents are homeschooling their kids to bypass the vaccine law. And that one has created quite a bit of a stir. The vaccine laws have created quite a bit of stir in the whole thing. And I don't want to take one side or the other on that one because that is such a hot button issue. But it's kind of interesting that I wonder what the impact will ultimately be for homeschool kids if this becomes something that the lawmakers get interested in. Will they then begin to attack the homeschool programs because children are not getting vaccinated?
Yes. One of the headlines that go along with that is the researcher who first said, hey, there's a correlation between the increase in autism and other ailments and the way we're vaccinating our children. He was just recently murdered. So I don't know if that feeds into a conspiracy theory or not. I have no idea, but it certainly causes me to pause and think.
I know that I have seen children who have come out of vaccine situations different than when they went into it, but I don't know if that outweighs the benefits of the vaccines in terms of keeping some of these deadly diseases at bay.
Yes. Okay, well then, the next headline that I want to talk about, I'm going to read the headline, and it says, and this is from January 2019, European court rules against the German homeschooling family. And we've talked about this homeschooling family before. We talked about it when it first happened in 2013. In fact, it was August 29, 2013, and 40 officials came and stood by the door of their home. They say it was the most horrible day for them. The authorities had been contacted by the neighbors who claimed that Dirk had said that he would rather kill his children than send them to school. And Dirk says that was totally nonsense, that the accusations were invented. Their children were taken away from them for 3 weeks, and then they were returned. Now, both the parents, Dirk and Petra, have graduated from high school, but they are not necessarily college graduates. He just felt like the school had changed so much from his day and age that he wanted his children to stay at home and do homeschool. So now they've had their children with them, but the high courts have come back and found that the authorities have not violated the parental rights of the Wunderlich family by forcing their children to attend school, because the children, you know, were forced to attend school. Homeschooling has been illegal in Germany since 1919. So, you know, we can be thankful for what we have here in the United States.
Yeah, it is a hot topic, the idea of homeschooling. And where does the parents' right to their own children end and the state's rights begin? That's really at the heart of that question.
Yes.
And right now we can be thankful that in the United States we recognize that parents have, by and large, the responsibility for their children.
Okay, here's another headline. Students leading the conversation on gun control. Here in the United States, as of November of last year, there's been more than 94 gun violence incidences at schools. Highest number so far to date. So 1 million students led a protest. Do you really think that these protests, they titled their protest March for Our Lives. Do you really think these protests do any good? I mean, it's something we do here in America quite a bit. Do these protests do any good?
I think the protests are healthy to have. I would rather have protests than no protests. I mean, the alternative of no protests is pretty bleak. It means that there is some force that is preventing people from being willing to speak out. However, having said that, the protest that they're having has implications for the Second Amendment of the Constitution, which needs to be discussed. Should be discussed dispassionately. Unfortunately, it becomes a very passionate subject for people. And with the number of gun violence issues that are going on, those are the ones that make the news. The violence that happens without guns doesn't make the news. So I think that we get with news anymore, we get this loaded up view of things that is probably more condensed than life is really in the United States.
Okay.
So I have one here. This one is kind of interesting. This shows what's happening as a result of social media, or what social media makes happening. This one says Tom Brady shamed for irresponsible cliff diving with his daughter, 6. Mm. That's from USA Today. So Tom Brady is ripped for cliff diving with a young daughter. And basically what they were is on vacation in Costa Rica, and they jumped off of this, what they're trying to call a cliff, which was basically probably 10 feet in the air into the water. Now, the question that comes out of it, everyone is either saying that he is an irresponsible parent, or they're saying, yeah, you go, because it's good for your daughter to experience that kind of thing. So that's something now that comes up in a debate on several different levels. How does social media affect people's lives? And not only that, if something like that is seen, is in the wrong situation, would he be considered criminal in what he was doing with his kids? And then should social media even be commenting on that? Should people even be commenting on that, or talking about it, or shaming someone who does that?
Well, I mean, this is an example of the power of social media and how careful you should be. I really think you should always protect the actions of minors, and you're dealing with minors on social media, because it can be misinterpreted. I mean, I'm here to tell you, Richard, if we had filmed half the things you did growing up with Dad, I'm sure you would have a backlash too, because, you know, parents like to have their children experience some of the thrilling things that you get. You'd certainly get a thrill if you're jumping off a cliff or jumping off a diving board even. Those are all terrifying things to me, but you seem to relish them.
You know, I see those kinds of things actually as part of the process of building critical thinking skill, because we can teach the mechanics of critical thinking, but it's the headroom that someone has through the experiences they have.
Yes.
that really polishes and hones and shapes critical thinking. I think it can be beneficial as long as it's kept within normal for whatever the parent thinks they can handle. Now, in the case of Tom Brady, he is a elite level athlete, so I'm sure that he could take care of his own child in just about any of those kinds of situations.
Yes, it's unfortunate. Well, I would like to talk about the headline that was on a recently happened in my area, and I saw the news clip on WJLA, but it became ABC also picked it up, and it was this mother who was worried about her special needs child, and so she put a listening device in the child's hair clip and sent her to school. And when she got, you know, was able, after the child came home that day and listened to the clip, she was shocked, literally shocked, at what she heard. Well, thank you for spending the time with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.